It's Thursday, September 17th. I'm Mo Kelly from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. Nurses across the country have been dying from COVID-19 due to their profession's inherent dangers. We'll discuss the strain this has put on hospitals and the protections put in place to guard hospital staff at all levels with Christina Jewett, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
In my conversations with various nurses in different capacities within the hospital system, to a person, female, male, cardiac care, ICU, every single one, and I know this is anecdotal, but just for me, every single one is actively concerned about catching COVID-19, infecting relatives, or dying on the job. Is this fear nationwide from what you see?
As far as I can tell, it is coast to coast a problem. I mean, I've been talking to nurses for months now, and they have a number of concerns. A lot of them have said they're not told who among their colleagues and patients has COVID. A lot of hospitals are actually mixing COVID patients into sort of the general patient population. And they're also being asked to reuse PPE that 6 months ago, they would have been written up or fired for reusing PPE in the ways that they're required to right now. So there is high concern among nurses that I've talked to as well.
I know that there might be HIPAA concerns involved with not knowing which of someone's colleagues may have tested for COVID-19. But is there any way from where you sit where nurses or other medical professionals can be alerted if someone within their ward or someone on their floor might have tested positive?
Well, there is contact tracing. I mean, there is a nationwide push inside hospitals and health facilities and also on the county health department level to alert people if they've been exposed and try to find out who they've been in touch with. So you'd expect this to be going on in hospitals, but it's not, you know, really uniform how it's being done, when and where it's being done. I've talked to nurses who had to really do their own legwork to find out, you know, sometimes they were told just sort of vaguely they were exposed and had to figure out what happened and which patient was it and how much contact they had with that patient. So there's a wide range of concerns among the healthcare workers we've been talking to.
You made mention of PPE and having to reuse it many times. Medical professionals have to reuse it. We're a good seven and a half months in this COVID-19 crisis here in America. What policies or practices, to your mind, have been changed or improved to better protect nurses and other medical professionals?
From what I've heard, the supply chain problems are improving a little bit. There are efforts to conserve PPE, and a lot of that involves disinfecting sort of the N95 respirators. And I have heard concerns about that because there's a variety of ways that that happens, some with chemicals, some with UV light, and there are sort of different benefits and drawbacks to those processes. And I've talked to nurses who feel like they're sort of being experimented on in real time. Let's try this method and sort of see how it works. And the nurses who feel like they're going to stay healthy or not, depending on some of those processes. So the PPE situation, I think, is getting better, but I think the reuse is still pretty widespread.
When I began my conversation with you, we were talking more on a micro level. In other words, on a person-to-person level, on a nurse-to-nurse level, and their concerns. On a macro level within the industry, is there a shortage of just nursing staff, or is it trending in that direction as it is more and more difficult to either find enough support staff or nurses to cover all these shifts given the increase in workload?
Well, I know staffing companies have seen big upticks in demand during the surges and sort of the places and times when cases were really on the rise. And I've also heard anecdotally that nurses are in some places leaving the profession, and of course they're dying. You know, as far as the national shortage, I don't know if that's the case. I haven't, you know, really heard that, but I know there's concern that there could be a second wave in the fall, and that gives sort of hospitals and nursing homes all that more incentive to really sort of try to take care of their staff, keep them as safe as they can, and get them some rest.
You talk about that second wave. Does this change fundamentally with the inclusion of the flu virus in this equation as a variable? I assume we would have a larger need for hospital staff, but does the flu present any particular challenge from where you sit?
You know, the thing I've heard about the flu is that usually in the U.S. at this time of the year, we're watching sort of the southern hemisphere. And the southern hemisphere, from what I understand, isn't seeing much flu. What I've heard as far as the second wave in the fall is the concern that with colder climates, everyone goes back indoors and sort of the concern about the spread gets a lot more acute when everyone's sort of stuck together in a building versus out and about in the wide open air. So that's kind of what I've heard about the second wave, but I'm probably not the foremost expert on that topic.
Well, we appreciate your expertise nonetheless in what you have been able to offer us. She is Christina Jewett, senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. Christina, thank you again for coming on today.
All right, I appreciate it. You take care.
I'm Mo Kelly, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for the day's big news stories, you can check out the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.